Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Emily Scarlett. While the book A Christmas Carol is familiar to practically all Americans, it seems that it may be more relevant than ever, with census figures finding that one in two Americans are now currently poor or low income. So as Christmas approaches, what can we really learn from this classic tale? Well, Reverend Cheryl Kincaid says quite a lot, and it can be found in her book, Hearing the Gospel Through Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. You can also find her on dickensandchristianity.com. Welcome to the program, Reverend Kincaid.
Thank you so much for having me.
The story of A Christmas Carol, we all know it. It's the story of Ebenezer Scrooge and his transformation from having no sympathy to the poor to then understanding that life is more than just about money. Do you feel that Americans are generally sympathetic to the plight of the poor?
You know, I think A Christmas Carol was written about the cash nexus theory that essentially said, I'm going to get to you, I'm going to answer your question, but I want to go about it a different way, that said that people were valued as much as they added to the economy. I think that people, Americans, are sympathetic to the poor, but I think that we tend to value ourselves by our output. And the danger there is when you can no longer output, you see yourself as valueless. And never before in the American culture since the Great Depression have so many qualified, hardworking people been not being able to contribute because of our economy. I don't have an answer to how to solve the economy, but I do have an answer that we ought not to value ourselves by our ability to earn a living or our ability to walk or our ability to talk or ability to fit in, but we should value ourselves as being created in God's image. And that was why Charles Dickens wrote A Christmas Carol. You remember Tiny Tim, the little boy who doesn't have a leg. He's walking lame, and Ebenezer visits his house during the ghost of the Christmas present, and Bob Cratchit's wife asked him, how did Tiny Tim do? And his answer was, he gets the strangest things sitting still sometimes. He told me today at church that he thought it would be good for people to see him at church so that they might remember who made lame people walk and blind men see. Notice that Tiny Tim doesn't ask for healing. Tiny Tim is content in where God has put him and content to be used where he's at. The lessons of Christmas have basically changed. Americans have turned it into a materialistic holiday, but it didn't start out that way.
Well, now, the Christmas Carol is not a particularly religious story. It's a story about Ebenezer being visited by the ghost of Christmas, present, future, and past. And so when you talk about hearing the gospel through this tale, what do you mean by that, and what kind of lessons are you finding in the story?
Well, two things is that Christ being born in the future, present, and past was in the Church of England's liturgy. It's not a mistake that we visit to the past, the present, and the future. The Christ who was, the Christ who is, the Christ who is to come. And in our carols, if you listen to our carols, they talk about Jesus being born in the past, in the present, and in your heart at the last. But I would say that it is a religious story. Ebenezer is the Hebrew word taken from 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, that says, that means the Lord is my help. And there was a popular song that was being sung in most Church of England called Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, where they talked about raising their Ebenezer to God. And it starts out by talking about sin. The book says, oh, he was a tight-fisted, hand at the grindstone Scrooge, a squeezing, winching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetousness, old sinner.
I'm talking to Reverend Cheryl Kincaid. She's the author of the book Hearing the Gospel Through Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. You can also find her on dickensandchristianity.com. So, Reverend Kincaid, when it comes to Christmas, everyone does know it as a holiday of gift-giving. Do you feel that way, that Christmas is, in fact, a time to get out there and buy presents for our loved ones?
I think that's fun to do, but we got to remember, especially now, that people can't afford to. We got to remember that there were three masses. There was one mass where we celebrated Christ being born in the voice of the prophets. The other was Christ being born in the belly of a woman. But the third is Christ being born in our heart. And Advent and Christmas for the early church was a time to clean out your heart and get ready for the message of Jesus Christ. And one of his his main message was that he was the Son of God, and the only way to God the Father was through him. But his another powerful message of his is that which you've done to the least of these, so you've done to him. And now is the time to look at the least of these. And I think we've gotten that, even though we may not always have the words to verbalize it, but charities do rather well at Christmas.
When A Christmas Carol was written in 1843, there was real abject poverty. You look at what we have today. We have all these programs to help the poor, food stamp programs, welfare. Don't we really have a very compassionate approach towards the poor?
I think to some degree we do. And I think the objection to throwing money at a problem is real. I think most Americans are very compassionate toward the poor. However, they don't know what the solution is. But I'm not sure they knew what the solution was then. Except Dickens understood that they had to close down they had to provide sanitary living spaces for people. In this country, I think that we do our best to keep our ghettos clean, and we argue over what's the best way to reform the schools. But I think there's still a basic bigotry that the poor are lazy, and I'm not sure that that's true. I think there's also a basic animosity toward the poor. I had a man visit my office, and if you're a pastor, you have lots of these people come to your office. And this guy didn't want food or anything. He has schizophrenia, and he's out on the streets. And we don't have really good mental health for people with schizophrenia and post-traumatic stress disorder.
Well, you know, America is a very different country than England, where A Christmas Carol was based. We pride ourselves on independence, self-reliance, and hard work. Do you think that makes us maybe less compassionate sometimes to those that aren't able to make it on their own?
I think fear makes us. We're kind of scared. If I can't solve all their problems, I don't want to do anything. I worked in a shelter for a number of years before I went in the ministry, and that's what I saw on people's faces when they'd come in to serve food, a sense of fear, a sense of, I don't want a socialist state. You hear people argue that. I don't want to turn into a different type of philosophy. And you know what? You can embrace capitalism. You can embrace the free market. But you don't go as far as the cash nexus theory, which is a theory that says a person's only worth as much as they can bring in an income. And that's what bothers me when conservative politicians do that, because that's evolutionary theory. The strongest survive. The weakest should die. That's not necessarily Christian theory. So we have to do it with a compassion. I just want to read you one statement. You remember, he says, aren't there any workhouses? Are there no workhouses? Are there no prisons? When Scrooge asks, will the child live, the ghost rebuffs him with that, because that was a statement that was said in the House of Commons. Don't we have these prisons? And he says, man, said the spirit, if man you be at heart not adamant, forbear that wicked cant until you discover what surplus is and where it is. Will you decide what man shall live, what man shall die? It may be that in the sight of heaven you are more worthless and less fit to live than millions like this poor man's child.
When it comes to the average American, though, right now, many Americans are struggling just to make it. I mean, they're paying for their gifts this year, and they barely have enough after that. What are we supposed to really do about this, about people that really are struggling even more than many of us are now?
Yeah, well, you know, and this, it's going to sound like a very pastor answer, but I'm going to give it anyway. It starts with prayer, praying for individuals that are in need, connecting yourself with a social agency, you know, live within a budget. I certainly believe that. You know, the Apostle Paul said in the book of Corinthians, when you give, don't give compulsively, but give in order and decency, and, you know, in order to survive in this world. But make room for volunteering, make room. You know, one thing that a lot of people could do that you'll get paid to do is foster kids. Especially those who are pro-life right now. You get paid in the state of New Jersey $800 for living expense to have a child. The state's going to pay for that child, and you can embrace that child in your home and help raise them. I'm becoming a foster parent. That's one thing that just is on my head right now. But that's something that we can open up our homes instead of closing into ourselves. Pulling your kids out of the secular schools into the Christian schools is like the white flight. And so many ways we're saying in so many that the world doesn't matter, it's just about us. And that's why we had a Reformation. I think that's why I really feel my book is very, very pertinent to what's happening in the Christian world, because we're doing what the Church of England did during the Victorian age.
Reverend Cheryl Kincaid, her book, Hearing the Gospel Through Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol. You can also find her on dickensandchristianity.com. Reverend Kincaid, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you so much.
And we will be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.